A devotion for the devotional series of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, artwork about his work. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I don't have to read much from the page that's pictured before you, and all you have to do is to try to read it, and you'll quite quickly conclude this has to be the King James Version of the Holy Scriptures. You would be right. In fact, what you see pictured before you is really quite a treasure, an original leaf from the first edition of the Authorized Version of the Bible. It's elegantly framed and hangs on the wall of my study, a farewell gift from Chris and Patricia Stainer, who retired from our area to live elsewhere a number of years ago. If you look carefully at the bottom of the page, you will see these words. The Holy Bible, printed by Robert Barker, London, 1611. It is, as mentioned, a page of the Authorized Version of the Bible that's better known as the King James Version. Called that because it was King James VI of England who commissioned it in 1604. Not that it was the first English version of the Bible. Actually, it was preceded by two other English versions, the Great Bible, which had been commissioned by the infamous King Henry VIII in 1535, and the Bishop's Bible, commissioned by Queen Elizabeth I of 1568. It's significant that even though 450 English versions of the Scriptures have been printed since the King James Version was printed in 1611, it still remains the most widely read English Bible in the English world. In fact, a fairly recent study published in 2014 by the Center for the Study of Religion and American Culture at Indiana University and Purdue University found that the King James Version is the choice of 55% of American Bible readers, with the closest contender following behind at only 19%. When I was first given a Bible in the 1950s, the King James Version was the Bible to be read because it was the only Bible, really, until the Revised Standard Version would become its first English competitor. Noted for its majestic style, the King James Version has been described as, quote, one of the most important books in English culture and a driving force in the shaping of the English-speaking world, unquote. A majesty of style and language and impact, which is evident during every divine service as we pray the King James Version of the Lord's Prayer, with all of its these and thys and thines, evident every time we read, He maketh me lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. The these and the thous, which so reverently address God in the majestic maketh and restoreth and leadeth of the psalm that's read to the comfort of the grieving people of God. Not that the King James Version is a better translation than all others, or that every printed version of it is perfect. It isn't. Have you ever heard of the Wicked Bible? That's what one of the earliest printings of the King James Version was called, the Wicked Bible. Do you know why it was called that? Because the royal printer, Robert Barker, the same man who printed the original page of the King James Bible in 1611 that you see before you, printed a subsequent version of the Bible 20 years later in 1631. Inadvertently, the royal printer Barker and his colleague Martin Lucas left one three-letter word out of one of the Ten Commandments. And so instead of reading, Thou shalt not commit adultery, it read, Thou shalt commit adultery. The unfortunate omission outraged King Charles I and the Archbishop of Canterbury, who ordered the royal printers to be fined. They were fined significantly, and they lost their printing license in England. Barker died, in fact, in debtor's prison in 1645, 14 years after all of the copies of the Wicked Bible were thought to have been destroyed. Not all were. In fact, 14 known copies of it are known to exist today. It's sad, isn't it, what the omission of the one little three-letter word not did to destroy a man's hard-earned career and reputation? What's sadder still is what role that same little three-letter word had in the fall of all of mankind. Remember the interaction of Satan with Eve in Genesis 3? Listen to it as it's read, of course, from the King James Version. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die." Robert Parker lost his royal status by inadvertently omitting the word "not" from the Word of God. Adam and Eve lost their royal status because they were enticed by Satan to disregard the word "not" in the Word of God. "Ye shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, lest ye die." And the offspring of the first sinners have been dying ever since. Even our Lord Jesus, born sinless of the Virgin Mary, a sinful daughter of Eve, died because of the sin of Adam and Eve, but not that he had inherited it from them like we do, but because he was born to become, St. Paul says, our sin for us, taking our sin upon himself, bearing our sin to the cross, paying for our sin in full, that in the words of our Lord Jesus, as they appear in the King James Version, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And so, dear friend, whatever version of the sacred scriptures you have and read, thank God that you have it to read. It is the inerrant and inscripturated Word of God which bears to us the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the incarnate Word, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as St. Paul says, with a grateful heart, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." A final thought from the King James Version. "I say unto you," Jesus says, "whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." How blessed we are to confess him here. How blessed we shall be to be confessed by him there. In his name, amen.